This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
You're listening to The Reading Group from BBC World Service. In this series, we bring together listeners, students of English, literature teachers, and other contributors from the world of books to share their enthusiasm for reading. We hope that following this series will encourage your own interest in reading books in English as a foreign language.
Hello. Today we hear from a novelist who cares less about literary prizes and more about books touching people's lives. We also meet a small, golden-haired boy from another planet. He's the main character in a classic French book beloved by adults and children, The Little Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
The stars are not the same for all people. For some who travel, the stars are their guides. For most, they're nothing but small lights. For a few, the learned ones, they're problems. But you will have stars like no one else has. You will have stars that know how to laugh.
But first, teacher and author Martin Parrott continues his series of talks intended to help English learners develop their reading skills. Today he argues the case for reading books in translation.
It sounds crazy, doesn't it? Why read a book written by one of your favourite national authors translated into English? Surely the whole point about learning English is that learning English opens doors to a vast new literature. So why read Tolstoy or Balzac, Liu Xun or Paulo Coelho in English? Well, because in the long run, reading books written in your language and translated into English will help you to unlock those doors to English literature. Reading favourite works translated into English can be a useful and enjoyable means of building up essential language skills and at the same time avoiding distracting and daunting cultural associations. What do I mean by cultural associations? Well, I mean references to, historical or literary figures, to religious or traditional practices, to TV, personalities, games or meals that a reader who is part of the culture will pick up and understand, but which can be bewildering to other readers. Now, until you know the language and culture really well, these cultural associations can create a real barrier to enjoying and understanding books written in English. An obvious starting point is a favourite novel or short story, one that you perhaps studied at school. A French friend of mine, a teacher, discovered I had a copy of a Maupassant short story translated into English. It's called The Necklace. Now, she'd taught the original French version so many times to her children that she knew the story almost backwards. Although her English was still shaky, she took the book down from my shelves and just devoured it. She didn't worry that it was full of long words that in other circumstances would have made reading difficult. I know from my own experience of learning foreign languages how useful translated books can be. I've read Agatha Christie murder mysteries in several languages. I was learning those languages, and the books have a predictable cast of characters. People behaving and talking in predictable ways. I understand them because I'm so completely familiar with the cultural associations of Agatha Christie novels. Strange as the idea may seem, if you're finding it difficult reading books written in English, my advice is try obtaining and reading books translated from your language into English. Later, when your fluency in reading has improved, of course you won't need these books. But they will have helped you. They will have helped you open those doors that I talked about earlier on.
Martin Parrott. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's story Le Petit Prince, The Little Prince, is a classic tale of equal appeal to children and adults around the world. It first appeared in 1943 in French, and since then it's been translated into dozens of other languages. A popular English version was published in 1995, translated by Irène Testot-Ferry, who lives and works in Paris. Irène has been a conference interpreter for more than 50 years, and she's on the line now.
It appeals to both grown-ups and children, obviously. I mean, children will take it as a fairy tale. I think it's basically a very philosophical work. It's a tiny little book, but very successful, very successful.
What was the biggest challenge that faced you when you came to translate the book into English?
The real challenge is that it's a French fairy tale, and you have to try and find the exact opposite, but in English. In other words, an English fairy tale. French is not as poetic as English, if you see what I mean. And in a way, the English version is perhaps less down to earth, shall we say, than the French, the original French.
Now, I know you read the book again.
I read it this morning. I read it from A to Z this morning. And I was just as moved as I always am when I read it.
Now, as we've said, The Little Prince is a story for children and for adults.
It is, yes.
I wonder, for the benefit of our listeners who may not have read the book themselves, if you could just tell us essentially what it's about and perhaps some of the philosophical ideas contained in the story.
Well, the basic story is that a pilot is shot down over the desert, and then he's suddenly confronted by this little chap who appears suddenly next to him. And the little prince tells him that he comes from another planet, a tiny little planet. And they start talking.
The first night, I slept on the sand, 1,000 miles away from other human beings. I was much more isolated there than someone on a raft in the middle of the ocean after a shipwreck. So you can imagine my surprise when, at daybreak, a little voice woke me up.
Please, draw me a sheep.
What?
Draw me a sheep.
I gave my eyes a good rub. There, standing before me, was the most extraordinary little fellow. He was looking at me very seriously.
I wonder if we could think about the moral messages of the book.
I think basically the moral message is that you must be aware of the existence of other people, of other human beings, who may need either your help or care of sort. But I think that even more important is the fact of having a friend, because the little prince constantly refers to his rose, you see, the rose on his little planet, and he looks after that rose and waters it and talks to it and so on and so forth, and he considers that rose as his friend, and now he also considers the pilot as his friend.
It's a very touching moment, I think, when the little prince leaves the planet. His rose is very proud, the flower's very proud.
That's why I always start crying at that point. It's very, very sad.
The fresh air will do me good. I am a flower, after all. But the animals? I must endure 2 or 3 caterpillars if I want to be surrounded by butterflies. And butterflies are so beautiful. What does it matter to you? You've decided to go, so go!
I know that you're very proud. You don't want me to see you cry.
Just go. Go! And do be careful.
The Little Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Now, as some of you will know, the BBC has a monthly World Book Club programme which invites leading authors to answer questions from a studio audience. The Booker Prize-winning Indian author Arundhati Roy was a recent guest, and she answered readers' questions about her internationally best-selling novel, The God of Small Things. This is a many-layered story that on one level attacks the caste system, the position of women, and the compromises of communist politicians. The book caused controversy in some parts of India, but Arundhati Roy rejoices in the fact that literature can provoke debate, and we'll hear some of her remarks in a moment. First, though, here's an introduction to the plot and key characters. The God of Small Things is told through the eyes of a young woman called Rahel as she looks back to the time when her innocence was smashed by a mixture of adult passion and betrayal. At the heart of the story is the secret, disastrous love affair between Rahel's divorced, middle-class Christian mother and an untouchable carpenter. But perhaps the emotional heart of the novel is Rahel's relationship with her twin brother, Esther. This certainly makes the book both funny and moving.
They were nearly born on a bus, Esther and Rahel. The car in which Baba, their father, was taking Ammu, their mother, to hospital in Shillong to have them, broke down on the winding TS State Road in Assam. They abandoned the car and flagged down a crowded state transport bus. With the queer compassion of the very poor for the comparatively well-off, or perhaps only because they saw how hugely pregnant Ammu was, seated passengers made room for the couple, and for the rest of the journey, Esther and Rahel's father had to hold their mother's stomach with them in it to prevent it from wobbling. According to Esther, if they'd been born on the bus, they'd have got free bus rides for the rest of their lives.
Arundhati Roy reading from her novel The God of Small Things. Readers wanted to know more about the twins, Esther and Rahel, and their creation.
I think they represent, you know, just as much as there is horror in the book and there is a sort of relentless violence against people. There is also an aching love which human beings are capable of, and almost being able to feel, you know, Rahel can taste the tomato sandwiches that Esther ate, and Rahel screams at the railway station when it's Esther's horror that she's expressing. And I think one of the things that writers are sentenced to, one of the horrors that writers are sentenced to is this, you know, of actually, like Esther says, you know, if in a dream you've eaten fish, does it mean you've eaten fish? If in a book you've written about terror, does it mean you've experienced it? And sometimes I'm not able to tell anymore, you know, what actually happened to me, what didn't. When something happens to somebody, I feel sometimes as if I'm crazy because I can feel it, you know? I can feel it, the pain of it. And I think that's because I'm a writer.
At the end of the BBC World Book Club programme, Arundhati Roy explained that for her, it's more important that books make people think than that writers win prizes.
There's a sort of urgency about living in India now, which I love, you know, that when you write a book, the worst thing that can happen to you is not a bad review. And the best thing that can happen to you is not that you get some prize. But that it's sort of, you know, touching nerves and it's being debated hotly. And there are, you know, of course, sometimes terrible things happen. I mean, as you know, I mean, people get hurt and books get burnt and all that. But it's a society which is very alive and thinking and debating. And, you know, it hasn't accepted that there is only one way to be or one way to think or one way to write a good book. There are just millions of different ways and different views, and they are hotly contested. And, you know, it's an exciting thing because then literature is a part of life. It's not relegated to some club or some award or some book review.
Arundhati Roy, author of The God of Small Things. Next time we hear how reading classic English novels translated into your language can be the best introduction to the English originals. I hope you'll join me then.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme. If you'd like to share your reading experiences, you can join our BBC Learning English group on Facebook. We'll have a different topic on the discussion board each week, linked to the subjects covered in the reading group programmes. So, until next time, happy reading.